So first off, I'm going to introduce Pastor David Matrenga. He's just going to talk to us and give us an encouraging word as the parents to our children and God's mandate for educating them. And we're going to then later, after that, I'll come up and talk about those different options for educating our kids. Pastor David Matrenga.
Good morning, everyone. As Sandy said, my name's David. I am grateful to be here. My wife and I have four kids, and our fifth is on the way in March. So our quiver is full, and it's a blessing and crazy difficult, both of those things. But I'm grateful to be here. Will you let's start by praying. Will you join me? Lord, we do want to ask that you would just be with us and lead us throughout this whole morning and this conference. We want your wisdom. As we are concerned with our children and their education and who they will become, we want to do it right, and we need you for that. So may you lead each breakout session. May you lead this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would instill us with a great measure of faith. And may you remove, where if there's anywhere where there's fear or doubt or concern, God, may faith triumph those things. We trust you. Thank you. Amen. So I want to begin by telling just a quick story. I'll never forget the first father-daughter dance that really stood out to me. I was at the Darlington House. I don't know if you guys have been there down in La Jolla. And my wife and I did wedding photography for many years. And so I have photographed with her well over 100 weddings. And then being part of this community and a big Italian family, I've probably attended 50 more. So I've been to a lot of weddings. And these dances just never really, they're like whatever to me. No offense, but just as a dude, there's just a dance. I'm doing my job. But then more than that, I never, ever even considered the idea of having a daughter. I'm one of three boys. My parents each have brothers. My wife has a brother. Her dad's one of four boys. Like, so there's just never even crossed my mind. And we're scheduled to do this wedding, and 2 days before that, we have this ultrasound, and I find out I'm having a girl. And I wasn't like crazy excited, stay with me. I wasn't bummed at all. I was completely in shock. The ultrasound tech just looked at my wife and I and was like, you guys aren't responding at all. What's going on here? And it was just this, in an instant, I'm like, oh man, I have no understanding of what, I've never considered this, and now I'm gonna be a dad of a girl, and just thoughts are racing, and all that to say, fast forward 2 days later, I'm at this wedding, photographing it, everything's going like normal, and we get to the father-daughter dance, and it's different, and the dad goes up there, and this Paul Simon song starts playing, and the daughter walks up, and I'm behind the camera there, like choking up and crying, which doesn't make for good photography, because I realize, man, like, this is a gift that I never even considered having. And in this moment, I'm realizing this is something that I'm going to be able to do one day, Lord willing. And I'm going to be able to have this daughter and really raise her up and hopefully have this relationship where this will mean something really significant. And then in that, the next moment, I also realize, but wait, this is kind of like the handoff. There's a handoff during the ceremony, but then in the reception, this is not the last dance, but the last dance in a way. And so in one moment, I realized, man, Lord, you have given me such an incredible gift that I didn't expect, but I'm so grateful for. And in the next moment, I'm realizing, and it's going to lead up to this time when I have to hand off this gift. I have to prepare her in a way for my daughters. I have two now. The counts in March will be 3 and 2. Boys win. But I'm preparing them to hand them off in marriage. But even more than that, we're preparing, we're raising up our kids to hand them off, because one day they leave our home and they're entering possibly new communities, new families, new careers. We're really raising up our kids to hand them off. And we got to prepare them well. Our intent with this conference is we really hope it's an encouragement. And we want to inform a real basic and practical question, which is how can I give my kids the best Christian education possible? And we want to raise them up well, partially because they're gifts that God has given us to steward. And it's going to fly by. My oldest is 10 years old, and that's just bizarre to me that he's talking about cars and all these things, and it's just happened so quick. And so soon he's going to be headed out. But we want to steward it well because it goes quick. But we want to steward it well because God has given us a real important task and job in raising these children up so that then they can go and hopefully raise up children that are going to honor the Lord. We have this role of raising them up so that they can not just keep their faith. And I want to be careful because Christian education, we want our children to know the Lord and walk in his ways and have a strong faith that they're going to stick with for all of their life. But really, it's something bigger than that. Because I want to raise up my kids in a way that they know the Lord, but then when they go out into communities and their jobs or whatever that may look like, where they could be lights for him. I don't want them just to have their faith, but I want them to walk out their faith in a way that helps expand the kingdom of God. And God gave us, as parents, that responsibility. So let's take a step back. God is the owner of everything. He's completely sovereign. It says in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And the most fundamental truth that we have is God is. And he's the owner of everything. He's sovereign over everything. He's in control. It says this in First Colossians. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. I don't even understand half of that. God is, all of that is saying, like, God is, and he always has been, and he's in charge. And God is wise beyond our understanding. Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So putting those things together, just one last verse, and we're going to, Isaiah 40 says, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow weary in his understanding. No one can fathom. And the point I'm trying to get at is this. In all of his sovereignty, in all his wisdom, he chose you to be the father or mother of your kids. He picked you. And now some of you are thinking, well, that doesn't make a good argument for God. And so, but I really don't want to overstate this. In all of creation, in all this design, in everything that is way beyond our comprehension and understanding, he picked you. And he didn't have to, but he did, and we should have some confidence in that. I pray that being a parent can be so intimidating, not only because of Instagram and all these perfect parents we see there. Not only because we highlight the good in everyone else we see and we know where we our shortcomings. It can just be intimidating. We have a soul that we have been given to steward and to raise up. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And yet, I hope that you have confidence and can lean into the Lord because God, in his wisdom and in his power, he chose you. He gave you these kids. God ordained, and that's the system that he's had for all time. God chooses families. He picks families to be the building blocks of society. And this paper is not sliding under there. There we go. And that even that concept of family, I think we can look past quickly because it's all we've known. We know family. We get it. Family can be something we take for granted or we think of as one option among others or we think of one responsibility, family, among all responsibilities. But God has taken family and set it apart for his divine and good purposes, which we play a role in, which he has called us to continue. It says in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. God says, go make a family, but go raise up kids who are going to make families. And that's his plan to bless the world. That's how he's going to do it. I think if you were going to start some organization, you're going to start some company or some NGO, like we have different ways where we would do it. It's probably not this, but that might be why we have some of the issues we have. But God said, the best way for me to fill this earth and to bless it is through families. It's not a quick plan, right? It's difficult. It's not easy, but it is good, and it's what God has ordained. And then on top of that, so God, all sovereign, all wise, picked you and said, I want you to do this thing that I have started since the beginning. I want you to create a family. And then he tells us that these kids that we have that we are to bless are also a blessing to us. Psalm 127:3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, some of you this morning especially need a reminder just because of whatever chaos, just to get out of the house to be here. But God didn't just choose you to be the parent of your kids, but God chose your kids to bless you. And I think about this. I've talked to parents who have extra difficult, strong-willed children. I've talked to parents who have had special needs children in various forms. And just how do you do that? How do you love that child in the situation that you find yourself in? And over and over and over again, I hear parents talk about how they have a grace given to them by God to do that. And that's because it's no accident. We think, man, if I am, as a parent, if I have to deal with this type of child, you fill in the blank, I don't know how I'm going to do that. But in that equation, we're missing something really big: God. And God chose you to accomplish something really specific that he's been doing for a really long time. He chose your kids and he put you two together. And when we are seeking out his will, I hope you have a confidence because you are working within his design. You are working with the Lord in this. You know, you guys know this. Humans take a long time to mature. Of all mammals, humans, we take the longest, right? Someone say 30 years or so, depending who you talk. My wife might say that recently. No, I'm older than that. But God worked that out because he had designed us to grow and mature in the context of family. And it bears pointing out that other institutions look to the family as a standard. In 1 Timothy 5:1-2, it says, do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity. You see, he's not talking about a family there. He's talking about a community and a church, but he's using family as the standard because it bears so much more weight. It really, family is the building block of society. And so God chose you, God chose your family, and this decision you are going to make, and we'll get to it, you're not like finalizing anything today. Whatever you lock in, whatever you lean towards today, it's not fixed or written in stone. But as you pursue what is best for my family, what is best for my kids to raise them up in a godly way, you are working with the purposes of God. And so when God sent out Joshua into the promised land, he gave a clear direction. Joshua, you go do this. And he encouraged Joshua, be strong and courageous because you're doing the thing I'm calling you to do. So even if Joshua didn't have everything laid out, but he knew he was headed in the right direction. As you seek what education to bring to your kids, how to raise them up, I want you to know you are walking in the direction the Lord is calling you to do. So you also can be strong and courageous. You also can walk with that same confidence. You might not know all the details. You might still be working things out still over and over again, but you're in the right direction. And so we can have confidence we're walking with the Lord. Now, Christian kids, we need Christian education. Education is ultimately in our world, education is a how to be instruction. How to function? What do you need to know in order to get by? What to do with this knowledge? That's kind of how education has been set up. But Christian education ultimately is the forming of a soul. It's how to be because of how you were created and how you were designed. And so our approach today is not to make Christian education secular education with Christian posters, right? That's not enough. We don't want just secular education with some prayer or some verses on the wall. We want to go back to the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and we want to really encourage and form these kids in how to do that. The rearing of Christian children with a distinctly Christian education is central to God's plan, to his purposes, and to the expansion, the establishment of his kingdom. It says in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And God designed that to be passed down through families. If you talk to a faithful Jew, they'll tell you that the most important passage in the Old Testament is this passage in Deuteronomy 6 called the Shema. And we're not going to read all of it, but you'll recognize the first part. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. And here it goes on. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them down on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In fact, if you watch The Chosen and whenever they walk into someone's house, you'll see them kiss they'll go and then touch the doorframe. And if you look carefully, they're touching a little plaque on the doorframe that has this verse written out. That's what a lot of Jews did. And I'm getting somewhere. It says here, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig. And he goes on. What the Lord's instructing here is when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And when we raise up our children with that understanding, not only are we operating within his commands, but that's how he's going to bring about the blessing that he wants to bring. you guys know our society is a mess. There we can point to so many different areas where we can question, like, we can just see that, man, God is not in the midst of that. And the way the Lord wants to change that is by us raising up souls who know the Lord and love him with their heart, soul, and mind. And to have those souls continue to raise up souls in the same way. And if we do that, then that's how we start to see this society change. The challenge, I want to quote something Mike Van Meter said directly. He says, we have tried to secularize a distinctly religious endeavor. You couldn't take religion out of education if you had a million years. The only question is, which religion will you educate your kids in? And that's at the core of what we're figuring out is, all right, Lord, we are not just teaching arithmetic. We're teaching these kids who they are as you designed them. And the purpose of this conference is, how do we intentionally approach how we're going to do that? And what way works for our family and what we want to do? And a question we have to ask ourselves is, who is teaching our kids? Not only is education, you can't remove religion from education because it is the forming of a soul, but we need to recognize that teachers are the examples that we're giving these kids. They're going to follow the example of their teacher. Luke 6:39 says, Jesus spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. So it's not only important for us to understand and ask what material are we bringing, but also who is bringing that material. And
check it out now, funk soul brother. You guys hear that all right?
I don't know that. There we go. All right. We want to make sure that the material is good, but also the teachers are people that we want our children to become like. There's something like 14,000 hours of school from kindergarten to 12th grade. That's a long time sitting under people that often we don't know what belief system they have or how they're instructing our kids. And I've heard some crazy stories just working with students. I won't get into them now, but maybe later. But teachers are examples that the kids are going to follow. So because education is to kids is so foundational to God's plan for the world, we want to seek his will in it, and we can expect God's blessing, help, and strength when we work alongside him in pursuing that for our kids. So I'm going to sum this up in just a couple minutes, but if you walk away with anything today as you're pursuing this, I want you to walk away with confidence and with courage that God chose you, that your kids also aren't a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. So God gave you your kids, and God gave your kids you. And as you seek out his will for their life, you're walking within his plans. You're walking in his strength. And we're trying to figure out in here, how do we do that practically? So today you're going to hear a bunch of different examples of how you can educate your kids in a Christian education. And there's not a one-size-fits-all for all Christians. I believe God has a mission for your marriage that is slightly different based on your skill set, your giftings, what he's calling you to do.
My wife and I, when we were dating, I knew I was being called into ministry, and I told her, look, if you want to marry me, you're going to marry a pastor, and that's going to be the mission of our marriage. And so we knew that going in, and that's going to look different than a big CEO, or that might look different than depending on what your skill set, what your calling, what you do. And the same is true with education. The mission of your marriage is going to look different for us, ultimately, to glorify God. But what is the best way for your family to raise up godly children, given the work you do, the financial situation you're in, the gifts, talents you hold? That might look a little bit different. What you decide today, again, is not fixed. You don't have to make any big decisions today, but be pursuing what makes sense so that I could raise up my kids in a way that as I form their soul, they'll come to know and worship God. And I do want to just, again, challenge you. Let faith be what guides you. In this, it's so easy for us to let fear be what makes these decisions. I'm going to pick an education system that because I can't afford this option. Or I'm not accomplished enough in this subject matter to do this form of education. And I just want to challenge you as you're praying and seeking the Lord, if there's fear, then bring that to the Lord. He knows it already. And challenge God. God, I don't know that I can do this because of this financial thing or because of this inadequacy that I see in myself. Is that a hindrance to you? Is that something that you see also? Or is that something that you want to overcome? And just really consider that and let faith be the overwhelming thing that helps you along this way. Not fear, not doubt. And you have a team. What's cool about the different breakout sessions is you have someone who's done it. But even more than that, you can talk to Sandy and she can connect you with more people. There's nothing new under the sun. And whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're challenged with, if you feel all alone, go to Sandy or go to one of the team here and ask them to walk alongside you and bring wisdom to that situation. We have an incredible gift, these kids. And I don't, it looks a little bit different. For me, it's these four, almost five kids. They're a gift. I have to remind myself that in 2 months, I'm going to be changing 15 diapers a day with it. I mean, and all of that, I'm going to remind myself, it is a gift. But it goes by quick. And we have this gift, we have this job, this role to steward well. So let's do that. Let's steward these kids well so we can prepare them effectively and joyfully to send them off to the careers they have, to the families that they're going to form, to the communities they're going to be a part of. And through that, let's let the Lord bless every part of it. The process, we have, I saw Gina just walk in, and she's in this position where her kids are all raised up, and they have their own families, and so we're in the battlegrounds with education and all of that, and she's done it well, so she's now in the place where she gets all the grandkids and then sends them home. But she's also, because she's really sought the Lord intentionally, there's a joy even in that. Like, as she sent them off, it's not like goodbye forever, but it's, man, I get to continue to see the fruit of the labor that of what the Lord has done and how he's going to continue to bless it. So what I'd like to do to wrap this up is I'd like to pray for you guys, and then we'll have Sandy come up. But will you do me a favor? If you're by your spouse, can you guys just hold hands? And I want to ask the Lord to guide you and everything, all the conference and breakouts today. Will you let me? Lord, I thank you for this gift that you've given us. I thank you for these children, and I thank you, God, that you have designed the system the way you have. I thank you that you have chosen families as the building block of society. And Lord, may we lean into your leading. May we lean into your design. And God, may we trust you. You have brought in this situation. You have given us these kids. May we trust you and your discernment and your wisdom that you have not made a mistake. And God, I pray for every parent in here, Lord, may you lead them today. May you make it clear how specifically you are calling them to raise up and educate their children. Father, I pray that you would show them the different options that won't work, but I pray you would more importantly show them the ones that will. And Lord, may they lean into your leading. And I pray, God, that you would give each parent here an extra portion of faith to trust the role that you've called them to fulfill and trust that as they step into that, they are operating within your will and because of that, within your strength. Lord, we thank you. In your holy name, amen.